Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. On the broadcast today, Kyle Roering joins us. He's the Executive Director of Great Basin Water Network, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. Big R and Sparks is located on Bering Boulevard next to Smith's and across from Reed High School. It's a 50,000-square-foot hardware store and a whole lot more. It's your spring headquarters with lawn and garden supplies, power equipment, and outdoor living. Big R on Bering Boulevard and Sparks next to Smith's and across from Reed High School. Big R, hardware, and a whole lot more.
Carson Valley Inn, it's your place for the good times. Carson Valley Inn.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2023 legislative session is brought to you by Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. The Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe County, your RTC, our community. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. And by Nevada Builders Alliance, building a better Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. And we are pleased to welcome back to the program Kyle Roering. He is Executive Director of Great Basin Water Network. It is a pleasure to have you back, sir.
Howdy, Sam.
So there was a tremendous article just published recently on water in Nevada and across the country, but it kind of focused on Vidlo water. And I've been aware of Vidlo water for, gosh, 30 years now, because when they were buying up water in north of Reno, Fish Lake Ranch, all those years ago. Tell me your thoughts, because I know you commented in the article, but share with people who haven't read the article yet what your thoughts were about companies like Vidlo.
Well, I think it's the piece is really an exhaustive look at how Western water law works in the 21st century and what modern day interests are really using water law for as it relates to their own purposes, and largely whether you're mining or building homes or, you know, just kind of acquiring water. There are many ways that entities are trying to put water to beneficial use, which is what which is what the law requires. And so this piece took a hard look at an interest like Vidlo, which basically exists to make money off of selling water and acquiring water. And so, you know, whether you look at its holdings in Eastern Nevada, Southern Nevada, Northwestern Nevada, I think you get a picture of what development looks like in the region and what really powerful, I think, deep moneyed interests are considering for the future as it relates to development in this state.
Well, as you know, over the past decades, the movement in this country has been from the Northeast to the Southwest. And the folks at Vidlo, and we should point out that Vidlo has now been bought by Toll Brothers, correct?
By D.R. Horton.
I'm sorry, D.R. Horton, correct. And so a major builder now owns the Vidla Water Company. But Vidla had played the long game of acquiring water rights and then working through the legislative process to be able to get those to be able to be moved where the water was needed. And don't we have to accommodate the growth that's coming? I mean, you and I have both known that the Las Vegas Valley was going to be over 3 million people over time. And so this is not any kind of shock. And there's no way to stop it. I mean, people are going to move where they want to move. Don't you have to have the services required for them as they move to these places?
Well, I think the ultimate question is can you provide those services under existing water law without harming somebody else's water rights, which is a key provision in our water law, without harming the public interest, which is another key provision in our water law. And I think that's really what makes the story that was in Grist so interesting, is that in the nation's driest state, Nevada, it is going to be harder and harder for entities to find water that can meet the criteria under our existing water law. Again, is there water available? Will it harm somebody else's rights? And will it harm the public interest, which is this, the public interest is, you know, a complex consideration of environmental and economic considerations. That's what's going to be tough. So when you say, hey, let's import water from hundreds of miles away from the big city, you have a whole host of factors other than, well, we have tens of thousands of Californians moving across the border and we need to satiate their thirst. And I think that's where Vidler is pressing up against. I think south of the Las Vegas Valley around Sandy Valley is a great example in near Prim, where Vidler was applying for water years ago. And they were ultimately denied those applications because the play was speculative. They really didn't have customers in mind yet. And there was a question about where the water would come from and who it would harm if it were to be appropriated. So, you know, I think that's why the piece is really interesting, and it's a great lens on the overall picture that we're dealing with in the state.
Well, I think one of the things that I bear in mind is that Vidla did the long play. I mean, you know, it took decades for them to be able to move the water from Fish Lake Springs to the North Valleys. And at one point, Senator Reed, 30 years ago, stopped the environmental impact statement, so they couldn't do anything with that water. Eventually, he relented, and that water is now going to populate, what, 4,000, 5,000 homes in the North Valleys of Reno, which are desperately needed.
Yeah, they're going to get about 8,000 acre feet a year from there. I think they have the option to potentially take up to 12 or 14,000. And that was a very long process where folks from my organization engaged on that for many years and helped to ensure that it, again, I think the original scope of that plan, there were a lot of questions about what would happen to the Pyramid Lake Paiute tribe's water rights. What would happen to the overall groundwater system? So again, I think what makes the Vidler story interesting, whether it be in northwestern Nevada or southern Nevada or for Coyote Springs, or they were involved with the SNWA project in eastern Nevada, is what are the issues of scarcity that we're trying to address? And then how do we uphold our fundamental pillars of water law? And that's where, you know, we've just seen the beginning over the past 30 or so years of what is going to come to a head. And that's these notions of scarcity versus can we meet the standards outlined as it relates to the public interest and availability and protecting senior rights holders.
Well, okay, and so that brings up the really big question, to me at least, which is that water and water rights in, let's just start with Nevada, are kind of like the show The Producers, where, you know, the movie only succeeds if the show fails, because they oversold the rights so greatly that if the show were a success, they couldn't pay everybody off. And it's been the same story. I mean, Senator Reid, worked to save Walker Lake because it didn't matter how much water was going to come down the pike. Walker Lake was never going to come back until they started buying up all these agricultural rights. So isn't that really the first thing that we need to do is figure out how much water there is and rearrange the rights so it makes sense, so at least we know what we're really dealing with?
Sam, you told me that there are things that you and I may disagree with, but that is one thing that you and I will always agree on right there. And you have identified the most significant issue of our day in this state is that we have to actually identify what exists. Our notions of what is on paper in this state as it relates to our water supply are out of balance with what actually exists. And until we make major investments to do just our basic accounting, we're going to continue coming up and finding major problems in the supply versus demand scenario. And it's something that I've been in our legislative circles that we run in that I've been calling for years. We need new reconnaissance reports for our 256 groundwater basins. We have a very good idea of what does or doesn't exist in our surface water supply, but we need to get a much better idea of what does or doesn't exist in our groundwater supply. It's expensive, but as the driest state in the nation, dropping a couple $100 million to get a grip, a modernized understanding of what actually exists would be an investment that would serve us for the next century. But it's hard to get the money right now. I think if we had the money, everybody would line up. But do we want to make sure that Vegas can continue to exist with the shape that the Colorado River's in? Well, yeah, we got to do that, and we got to throw.
All right, hold on. Before we get too far out here, let me throw this back and say, okay, so hasn't term limits in a lot of ways really hurt the understanding of water in the state? Because so many of the people that totally understood the whole water situation in Nevada are gone now. You have Pete Goicoechea, who is the leading expert at this point in the Senate. This is his last term. Senator Titus is saying that she is going to do her level best to learn as much from him as she can before he's gone. But we're losing all this institutional knowledge, and that's not a good thing.
I've spent a lot of time in the senator's office this session, and yeah, he inherently gets it, and when he's gone, it will nobody replaces a lawmaker like that. Someone like Assemblyman Watts, he's kind of the young gun in that regard. He gets it, and I think a lot of lawmakers rely on those two for their institutional knowledge. And when you lose someone like that, it's difficult. And, but I will tell you this, out of all the meetings that I've had this session, you would be surprised at how many lawmakers had district court opinions for water cases just sitting on their desk, being like, I've been reading this and I'm trying to understand it. And so I think the desire to learn and comprehend and expound upon our water law is there. But again, as you imply, it takes a lot of time to really get it and understand it. So there's going to be gaps, and that's where people like me, I come in, I try and educate, and everybody else, and it's up to the lawmakers to make sense of it on their own.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back much more with Kyle Rohrink after this timeout.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon is a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere, the Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson, we'll save you a drink.
The casino industry drove Nevada's economy for decades. By the 1990s, however, the state's sole industry was in sharp decline. Many were losing their homes, many were leaving the state. Is Reno on track to be the Detroit of the West? Was an October 2010 Reno Gazette Journal headline. Nevada knew it was time for a change and a time to diversify. Story County took that lead, took risks, invested tens of millions transforming its desert into a place of opportunity and a future for Nevada families needing something new. That desert now provides thousands of high-paying tech, advanced manufacturing, and energy careers at companies like Tesla, Panasonic, Google, Switch, and Redwood Materials. Story County transformed Northern Nevada forever, and the tide of opportunity has raised all vessels through construction contracts, high-paying careers, and the power of payroll. Tens of millions have been generated in sales and property tax, permits, and other revenues for Reno, Sparks, Washoe County, and for all of Nevada. Enough, in fact, to generate a surplus after public services are provided. And best of all, a sustainable economic climate has been created, enabling our children to stay in Nevada and live prosperous lives in their home state. Story County, improving Northern Nevada one industry at a time.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're here in Carson City. Kyle Roerink is in Memphis, Tennessee, and so we're delighted to see you from there. He's Executive Director of Great Basin Water Network. All right, let's move on here. What have you felt about the discussions at the legislature? Are you pleased with, you know, what's been done with water, or are you pretty irritated at this point?
No, we're taking small bites at a very big apple, and it really all comes down to money, Sam. I mean, what you identified earlier is really it. It's like how much money are we investing to get a better understanding of what exists or what doesn't exist? And we're fighting over couch cushion money right now. $250,000 to start a water rights retirement program, specifically a groundwater rights retirement program. That doesn't even buy up one drop of water. That just gives the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources the ability to administer that program. For example, that's SB 176. We can't even get that started. And I think that's really what is frustrating. And you can't even blame a lawmaker or something like that. I just think it's like there's just not enough willingness to make the financial investments, or maybe it's better described as nobody can find the money because there are so many other priorities out there.
Okay, but I would presume that the Southern Nevada Water Authority would love to see some of this research done, or am I wrong about that?
No, they, you know, I've been testifying right up next to them on a lot of provisions like this. I think as it relates to overall groundwater management in many regards, a lot of us, very diverse interests, all agree that some serious steps need to be taken. But again, it's about identifying money first and foremost. And you know, what I've been saying for the past couple months is, all right, we'll look at Nevada, and we're talking about maybe making investments, additional new investments out of kind of the general fund pot of money, just this session of $5 million or less, and Utah appropriated $500 million. In their session. Now, you can also look at it right when Sisolak was on his way out. He had IFC take $100 million of COVID money and basically put that in a pot for some water issues in the state. And I think about, you know, $65 million of that is going to go to the septic tank removal program in Southern Nevada. Totally, I totally support that. We need to do it. But when you look at it from a groundwater management perspective, the Las Vegas Valley is one basin out of 256 in the state.
And well, that's true. But I mean, you know, like you said, small bites one at a time. It's always hard to try and get it all done. Let's take one more break. We'll come right back after this timeout.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Kyle Roerink. He is the executive director of Great Basin Water Network, coming to us from Memphis, Tennessee, and we are in Carson City. So I think everybody knows on this program that we've been talking about Ivanpah and the secondary airport that's going to be coming along. I was talking to somebody yesterday who said, I don't know why they keep calling it a secondary airport. It's going to end up being the airport. They got 5,000 acres, the Clark County did, to be a city that we've been joking has no name, which is kind of like the song that, you know, I came to the valley with a horse with no name. But Jim Gibson, who's the chair of the Clark County Commission, came on the program and said that the cost of this is going to be $12 billion plus. That is a bigger number than any project in Las Vegas, including City Center. Ray Hager did the math, and he said even Hoover Dam, which cost $49 million in the 1930s, would have cost about $860 million in today's economy, so it's not even close. John Ensminger on the program from Southern Nevada Water Authority has said that they have the water to be able to go from Apex all the way down to Gene, which would include Ivanpah. What are your thoughts on what is going to be this huge economic development project?
On the water side right now, I would say this, that there are two things that folks should keep an eye on. There is a NEPA review of the proposed water infrastructure in Gene. There's also a NEPA review ongoing at Apex. So we don't have any decisions from the federal government yet on what the right of ways look like and what that truly looks like. So, you know, I just wanted to preface with that because it's all just kind of my musings. I think as it relates to the overall numbers, Nevada's allocation on the Colorado River, can we build a huge, vast network of pipelines to treat and move it around and, you know, make it work for this whole vision? And I think today, if everything remained static today, I would feel confident in saying, yeah, we can probably make this work. But the uncertainties on the river are what truly give me pause. Because what we have seen the past couple years during the intense droughts that we saw the last summer and the summer before, you know, we ain't seen nothing yet. You know, the best scientists on the river expect losses of another 20% on the river in the coming years, in addition to what we've already taken. And we have to be considerate of that and what that means to the overall picture in the lower basin. And so I think we have to be very cautious as it relates to moving forward, because again, it goes back to the question of where do you get the water to supplement or augment the supply in the future?
Well, you know the answer to that.
Well, and that's why I think we need to be cautious. And, you know, what are the costs going to be? I think that's another thing is, you know, I know all throughout the state, families are concerned about their utility bills. And we've seen rate increases, whether it be water or electricity in recent years.
All right. But what, I'm sorry, we're running out of time. So I just want to throw in that, you know, one of the things I've been hearing is public-private partnerships are going to do a lot of the funding for this, because there's only going to be so much from the FAA in terms of going towards that airport. But there are lots of reasons why companies that currently operate in California will want to come over and work out of Ivanpah. Now, Jim Gibson says he doesn't want this to be a reliever airport for LAX. But, you know, the reality is down the road, I think that's going to be one of the things, and for SFO as well.
Well,
I think about 20 seconds here.
There was a good conversation on your show with Commissioner Sagerbloom where you were talking about California getting benefits from the warehousing and the international tourists getting benefits of late night flights. But I'm wondering if you know, okay, California gets the warehouses, the tourists will get the late night flights, but is Nevada going to get the shaft? Because who's gonna pay for all this? And I think that's a key question, is how much private money can you really get funneled into this?
Well, that is going to be the key question, but now we have opened the door and people can walk through. If you go to NevadaNewsmakers.com, you'll be able to see Ray Hager's story right there, or watch the interview with Jim Gibson. That will give you everything you ever wanted to know about this. I thank you, as always, for doing this, especially from Memphis, Tennessee, and thank you for wiping off all the barbecue sauce before you came.
Anything for you, Sam.
Thank you, my friend.
Obviously,
bye-bye. Much more to talk about on our next visit. Thanks.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you, and we'll be right back.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2023 legislative session is brought to you by Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. The Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe County, your RTC, our community. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. And by Nevada Builders Alliance, building a better Nevada.
Our thanks to the Bank Saloon in Carson City and the Builders Alliance for their help with our coverage of the 2023 legislative session. We'll see you on the next broadcast.